This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila. So first up, a resort in Tioman was recently bombarded with bad online reviews by a very specific group of people, and it's not for the reasons you might think.
Yes, so this is actually, it's quite an amusing one. The Salang Sayang Resort in Pulau Tioman essentially was mentioned in one of the SPM listening tests, and the story in the test involved a character named Iman who went on a vacation with her family in Pulau Tioman and stayed at Salang Sayang Resort. So the name caused many candidates to misinterpret the correct pronunciation. Some confused it with Salam Dayang, some confused it with Salam Layang, some even heard Sembayang Resort. So really nothing to do with the actual resort itself, but perhaps unsurprising for a generation of what are they called, digital natives, these frustrated candidates then went on to write negative reviews on the actual resort's Google page and social media pages, and you know, these range from really frustrated messages like, please change your name, I failed in SPM because of you, or never been to this place but I hate it already, change your name to Salam Nayang now because that's what I put in my listening test.
Salam Nayang, that's quite special. I think it's interesting also that they chose a real place for the listening test, because they could have made up a resort, to be honest. I don't think they needed to necessarily pick a real place in Pulau Tioman and insert that in. Also, this reminds me of playing Katapat, because if you have been playing Katapat, you will know that words like Salang Sayang and just all the variants of it are, yeah, it's exactly how you get tripped up. So the resort's owner, Nadia Tuan Rosaimun Azam, has actually just taken it really in her stride, right? Considering that there were so many of these comments and bad reviews, she's been really positive about it. She said they didn't bother her much. She understood that the students were frustrated. That's what led to them leaving those reviews. She's been receiving calls and SMSs since the name of the resort went viral. I think she mentioned that actually her phone started hanging, but that the bright side of it is that now people actually know the place, that it's created some level of exposure for them. She did also consider creating a promo package for SPM candidates, which I think
cute.
Is very sweet. And the bad reviews have since been removed. It's also worth saying that actually the place in question has been in existence since 1981. So it's not as if this is a new name, and they got their name from a nearby kampung, which is near the resort.
So this actually opens up a larger question of the usefulness of online reviews in general, right? I mean, this is an extreme example. If you were planning to stay at this resort, you know, in recent day, you might have been confused if you went there and looked at these reviews. But in general, the notion of looking at online reviews, I think, has become very common. But I think it does take a certain amount of skill to sift between the helpful ones and the ones that are just kind of there. Like, my personal bugbear are the ones who literally say nothing. They'll say things like, checked in, left on Wednesday. I'm like, what does that help me?
That's the Shopee thing,
yes.
Right? It's just like, received it, thanks, 5 stars. I agree that sifting through these reviews takes a certain amount of skill. I also think leaving reviews takes a certain amount of detail, because often if you're not leaving a particularly helpful review, you might as well not leave one. I mean, I'm sure that business owners don't agree with me, because I'm, you know, you'll take the stars, I think. But in general, for me, as someone who's actually looking at a place and trying to decide, do I want to go here? It's tough. Also, I think worth bringing up that when you are looking through, most of us, I think, would understand, in the case of, I need to get this right, Salang Sayang. In the case of Salang Sayang Resort, you would look at these reviews left by frustrated SPMers and go, okay, this really has no bearing on the place. They clearly haven't been here. But it doesn't apply if, for example, the reviews had already dropped to, say, a 2.5 out of 5 or a 2, in which case, you might not bother actually looking through the reviews or looking through the photos, because you think, oh, this place is just not good. And I think therein lies the danger, because you do sometimes see situations in the reviews in which mediation is clearly required, right? Where you have the accommodation or the restaurant or whatever saying that they've already done everything to try to make the situation better, and you have a series of people continuing to bombard them with one-star results. And I think that also opens up the question about moderation, which in this case, I mean, the reviews were moderated after a while. But yeah, I think this idea of how often are these reviews reviewed?
Yeah, I've heard many restaurant owners, I've even read them post this on their social media saying, if you were unhappy with something, talk to us first instead of just going and, you know, giving us a one star on our review page or you know, criticizing us. Talk to us first about it. Chances are we probably didn't know we made a mistake or the food didn't taste good or whatever. So that's one aspect. The other is expectation, right? Because I've seen reviews for places that are clearly advertised as budget accommodation. So you know what that means. I mean, with budget accommodations, the expectation is very different from a five-star resort. But you'll see people reviewing it as if they expected to stay at a five-star resort and criticizing it for things like it was small, the sheets weren't silk. And
where's my concierge?
Exactly. Yes, there's no concierge. There was no airport shuttle. And so again, this idea of expectation is also important, I feel. So when I look at reviews, I tend to make sure that the ones I'm reading line up with perhaps the kind of person I am and the needs I want from a particular place, rather than just a general idea of are they saying it's good or bad?
So we'd like to hear from you. Do you depend on online reviews when you're deciding where to eat, where to stay? We're discussing this today because of Salang Sayang Resort in Pulau Tioman that was bombarded with bad reviews after being mentioned in one of the SPM listening tests and students not hearing it very well, I suppose. You can let us know your thoughts. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of MATA. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Best from Malaysia, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the importance of reviews when it comes to tourism because of the really interesting story involving Salang Sayang Resort in Pulau Tioman. I hope you heard that clearly because a bunch of SPM students did not, got mad, and then went and wrote a whole bunch of reviews of the resort, resulting in them being in the news. And that's what had us thinking, right, about how much we depend on online reviews, which is what we're asking. Do you depend on online reviews when you decide where to eat, where to stay? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, or MATA. Nigel, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, ladies. Nice to be back.
So I wanted to know, right, just to start us off, do you personally rely on reviews? What do you usually look for?
Well, yeah, of course I rely on reviews. Reviews are everything nowadays, you know. But yeah, look, when shopping online, obviously reviews have become something that we rely on just to get a sort of second opinion. Everything now requires a second opinion anyway. And it's become something that I have personally come to refer to a lot, especially when buying online. Maybe not so much at, you know, travel websites so far, but mostly like in places like Shopee, Lazada, you know, the usual spots where you get your stuff from.
And how important are reviews when it comes to tourism? Do many places rely on it?
Well, now that you mention it, reviews for tourism destinations are becoming more and more popular. I mean, this was made more popular by online portals like TripAdvisor, for example, a very well-known portal that people normally go to get their, you know, lowdown on a particular place. And it's becoming more and more popular. In fact, even businesses that don't normally rely on reviews are beginning to find that it's a necessary thing to incorporate reviews into their websites. And it's really simply because it gives people a chance to engage with the business. And it's also something that people are beginning to expect.
So how have we seen this change, right? Especially with more people relying on the internet and making their own reservations, because I would imagine that back in the day, you know, this wouldn't necessarily be such a big factor.
Well, it back in the day actually wasn't too long ago, to be honest. But yeah, I can't say very much except to say that, I mean, given the current trends, you know, especially with businesses having much more of a presence on social media, especially, you know, Facebook and Instagram in particular. It's become almost the norm that, you know, anybody working in PR in those different organizations, you know, being part of that generation that relies or consumes social media, it's become almost the norm that when they join these organizations, they inevitably say, hey, guys, we need to be online. We need to engage with our customers. And we're going to do that anyway. So let's be prepared to do so. And yeah, just be brave, engage.
So on the part of the, you know, whether it's a hotel or a restaurant and so on, what is the right way then to handle reviews that come in, whether positive or negative?
Okay, I think, Sharmila, you sort of hit on one key word here. It's about handling, or rather management, right? So what we do advise a lot of our members who actually do have an online presence, we tell them, look, don't ever look at it from a negative perception. I mean, just take the recent story from the resort, Salang Sayang. You know, they took it in stride and they did it the right way. You know, they didn't make light of the situation, but they were polite, you know, and I believe they also didn't respond negatively towards all the comments that were going online. And, you know, that being said, nowadays people are smarter than they seem. You know, they may look at a review, but they know whether a review, they can sort of sense whether it's going to be genuine, whether it's actually warranted, you know. And people can filter negative reviews or false reviews out on their own.
So the other thing I wanted to know was, have you seen many locations or accommodations actually making changes based on customer feedback and what that's been like?
Well, I can just probably relate some experiences that our friends in the hotel industry, you know, have told me about. And hotels particularly, they do pay a lot of attention to customer feedback. And yeah, in most cases, if there is a genuine suggestion that makes sense, if there's a genuine complaint, these hotels actually do make it a point to correct the situation. It doesn't necessarily have to be a public spectacle. You know, they may engage the customers on the back end, work out something with them. And at the very least, just respond and say, hey, we've heard your complaint. We know what your pain points are. And trust us, we're doing something to correct the situation.
And if we look at this particular story, right, where the reviews aren't necessarily about the place itself, but it's about external factors beyond the control of the resort, what do you make of this? What can they do? How can they respond?
Well, first and foremost, I think I'm not too sure whether the resort was chosen based on the challenge it would have provided the candidates. I certainly hope not. But I think what they did in not, again, responding negatively to these comments, not deleting comments and just leaving it there, was actually the right way to go about it. You know, people need a chance to vent sometimes, and naturally, those people who reread their posts or may even get feedback on the post they made may eventually end up taking down the post themselves, because in hindsight, it probably felt a little bit emotional when they wrote the post. But then after thinking about it and cooling down, they probably would go back and say, hey, you know, maybe I said a little bit too much and it wasn't warranted. And I think based on the report, a lot of the comments were actually taken down by the users themselves.
I realized we forgot to ask you something, or we failed to ask you something. Do you leave reviews? Because we met, you know, we started with you relying on them, but do you leave them?
I do, but I tend to be one of those people who only leave reviews when A, the service that was provided to me was exceptional, or, you know, if, you know, something really, really, really bad happened on that scale of 1 to 10, you know, maybe a 10, something really awful happened. And to be honest, I get emotional like anybody does, you know, but I would probably hazard to say that I'm one of those people who would probably try and leave a, can I put it this way, a positive, negative comment, you know, and in the hopes that the business would take note and maybe get back to me and respond to me and say, hey, guys, we're sorry. So, yes, I do leave reviews.
So on that note about negative reviews then, we have seen instances where negative reviews are shared and weren't necessarily fair to the place or to the proprietor, but then these do end up dragging those scores down anyway, right? Or the star rating and whatever. Is there anything that these platforms can or should be doing to moderate or verify these reviews?
Okay, tricky one, that one, because as we know, most platforms prefer not to get involved unless it's in direct contradiction with their policies, right? And look, our family runs a little restaurant in KL, and we've gotten like really good reviews almost 99% of the time. And every once in a while, we'll get somebody who comes in and says, "Hey, you know, I'm going to leave this guy a one-star review because they charge for a refill of hot water after they've already had the refill about 6 or 7 times," right? And you can't really stop people from making these reviews or even rating you that way. And that one star does actually pull down your overall rating by quite a bit. But then again, we don't get overly frustrated by that because, again, a lot of people, you know, the numbers just prove that people keep coming back. And despite those 1 or 2 really negative reviews, because people do understand, you know, what it's like, and they can filter the genuine reviews from those that are not so genuine.
Nigel, in closing, any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think for everyone listening out there, reviews in general do help a business improve and can even provide a lot of insight to business owners about what their customers really want. So in the spirit of this conversation, leave your reviews. And if the review is good, give them a 5-star rating.
Nigel, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of MATA, the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, weighing in on the subject of reviews and the importance that they play, not just in tourism, right, but really in all of us deciding where we want to spend our money, because so many of us check nowadays. We're talking about this because of Salang Sayang Resort. I'm really trying to say it clearly. Salang Sayang Resort in Pulau Tioman. That was mentioned in one of the SPM listening tests. SPM students, many couldn't get it. Instead hearing Salam Dayang, Sembayang, just all these variants of the actual name. They got mad. They went. They left a lot of negative reviews. They did take them down. But that got us thinking about the impact of reviews, right, when it comes to these things. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you depend on online reviews when deciding where to eat, where to stay, where to spend your money? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages that have come in.
So Lulu says, "My pet peeve is when a restaurant or establishment bites back at a bad review. Such a put off. I'd be more open to visit if they replied and showed that they're listening." And to that note, actually, yes, I do really appreciate it when I see proprietors take the time to address negative reviews. And you do see that in some platforms. And it makes me feel more willing to give them a second chance, even if their reviews don't indicate a great, don't indicate that perhaps they are as highly regarded as they might want.
So I was thinking about this. I have seen some, in particular restaurants, not so much hotels, but restaurants where it almost feels like the entire personality of the proprietor is wrapped up in combative responses, right? I think we've all seen this, where you look at it and then you have them saying like, "Well, clearly you can't taste anything, so get lost," you know, and that kind of, that's a very poor response, but you know what I mean. You know, they have that sort of tone. And I think that that's a double-edged sword. I think that that's you telling everybody that you're not for everybody. And perhaps it works in terms of gaining a loyal, you know, following. But broadly speaking, you're right. I think 2 pet peeves. One is when they bite back and they do it incredibly rudely or don't appear to have listened to what was actually said. The other thing is, not the hugest fan of rote responses. And you see this sometimes as well, where people write,
"Thank you for your response. Thank you for your response."
Either that or a longer version, but what it boils down to is "thank you for your response" with a sign off. And I getting a sense that there is a person at the other end of the line.
We have Selena saying, "I remember having such a horrible experience at a hotel while on vacation. The room smelled like nasty toilets and my entire trip was ruined. I got so emotional. I took photos of every single thing that irked me and included it in my review. Am I being a little too petty? Maybe, but no regrets."
You know, I actually think the more photos, the better. I'm a big fan of seeing photos in reviews. I think it makes such a big difference when you can actually look at things and also understand. Look, I don't think, Selena, that you're being petty, but to that point you made earlier, Sharmila, about looking for reviews that perhaps vibe more closely with what you might be like or what might bother you. I think photos help me to understand who this person is who's leaving the review and what their standards might be and whether they are higher or lower than mine, right? Because if I look at it, I'm like, yeah, actually, that would bother me as well.
No, exactly. And I think also justifying why you're giving someone a bad review is important. And photos explaining why helps with all of those. We also have Violet saying, I always check online reviews. Anything under 4 stars, I'm not going. Maybe I have high standards.
4 stars, honestly, is also where I tend to live.
I'm at a 4.2 myself. So,
oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I know.
I think mostly because I will say, though, that if it's like a 3.8, it's worth checking because sometimes you get those unfair 1 stars and they're the ones that drag people down immensely.
So
especially
3.8, I'll read the reviews.
Yeah, we're coming off real well in the segment. Okay, we're talking today about reviews, online reviews, and their role when it comes to deciding where we eat, where we stay, where we spend our money. We'd like to hear from you. Do you depend on them? And in fact, do you leave them usually? Let us know. That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for your messages after this. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.